Best Friends. I'm Tabby.
And I'm Caitlin. And today we have a very special guest on the show, Stacey Stokes. Stacey Stokes, she is an author, a young adult author, and she has a website, stacystokes.com. And so I'm going to just kind of read to you her bio off of there. So it says she is a lifelong lover of stories, a former improv comedy geek, and a marketing professional by trade. She graduated with a BBA from the University of Texas at Austin and an MBA from Wharton School of Business. Her debut novel, Remember Me Gone, was a Junior Library Guild Gold Standard Selection, an ALA Quick Picks for Reluctant Readers nominee, and nominated for the Colorado Blue Spruce Award. Her sophomore novel, The Darkness Rises, will release in April 2024, should be on April 9th, with Penguin/Viking. Stacey lives with her family in the Bay Area, and you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey A. Stokes.
All right, so in true fashion, we will be reading the back of the book of The Darkness Rises.
Someone wants revenge. Whitney knows what death looks like. Since she was 7, she's seen it hover over strangers' heads in dark, rippling clouds. Sometimes she can save people from the darkness, sometimes she can't, but she's never questioned if she should try. Until the unthinkable happens, and a person she saves becomes the perpetrator of a horrific school shooting. Now, Whitney will do anything to escape the memory of last year's tragedy and the guilt that gnaws at her for her role in it, even if that means quitting dance, the thing she loves most, and hiding her ability from her family and friends. But most importantly, no one can know what really happened last year. Then Whitney finds an ominous message in her locker and realizes someone knows her secret. As the threats pile up, one thing becomes clear. Someone wants payback for what she did. And if she's going to survive the year, she must track down whoever is after her before it's too late.
All right. And without further ado, joining us now is Stacey Stokes. Welcome, Stacey, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. We're definitely so excited to chat with you today about your new book, The Darkness Rises. But first, we wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. I'm Stacey Stokes. I'm the author of the forthcoming The Darkness Rises. And my debut was Remember Me Gone, both out with Viking Books for Young Readers. I'm originally from Texas. I grew up in Dallas. I currently live in Oakland, California with my daughter, husband, and dog, Elvis Presley. When I'm not writing, I work as a marketing professional. And yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Awesome. So you do a little bit of both then. That's super, super cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, very exciting. So at what point did you decide to become an author?
You know, if you had asked me when I was probably like 5 or 6 years old, I would have said I wanted to be an author when I grew up, either that or a veterinarian. I think I had a rotating, rotating dreams at that particular point, just because I loved reading. I loved writing and making up little stories. And in and out throughout my life, I've always written and wanted to write. It just took a while for me to figure out how do you actually sit down and find that focus to write. And I realized probably can't do it full time all the time. I don't know that I have the capacity to be like that prolific and constantly churn out books like a Stephen King or somebody, but sure. It's a passion of mine and something that I always have wanted to do. So it was probably about 12 years ago, I sat down and really committed to finishing my first manuscript. And then once I finished that, I was like, all right, now I have to figure out how do you get these things published? How does this happen? And I kept at it and am happy to say in what was 2021, my first book debuted, which was really exciting. And now the second one, The Darkness Rises, is coming out in April.
That's awesome. Very exciting. So what was, you know, your path to publication? And, you know, what were some challenges that came with that?
You know, I started that first book, as I mentioned, over a decade ago, finished it, thought I finished a book. Of course, it's going to get published. And I can tell you it was absolute garbage. But I was so proud of having finally finished this book. And I remember the first person I gave it to was my mom to read. And now I know, now that I've dug into publishing, I know that the last place you're supposed to go is to somebody who loves you, because of course they tell you that it's wonderful. So I thought I had written this beautiful masterpiece. I started doing research on how to get it published, and I ended up joining an online forum where people were swapping manuscripts, where I was learning how to write query letters. And it was there that I started to get some really tough but honest good feedback and realized that I had work to do in terms of plotting and character development, all the fundamentals and all the basics. And also by swapping manuscripts with other authors, I started to also get good at figuring out what's not working in their narratives. How do I articulate what is and isn't working so that I can give them feedback? And throughout that process, started to get better at writing. And I kept revising that manuscript, attempted to get an agent with it, but it wasn't my book. It wasn't my time. At the time, I actually had started writing The Darkness Rises, had a draft when I got the idea for Remember Me Gone, which ultimately ended up being my debut. But I had a very bad draft of The Darkness Rises that I queried, had a lot of interest in it, but it wasn't quite ready yet. So I ended up setting that one aside because I knew there was an idea there, but I hadn't really fleshed it out. And then I sat down, I wrote Remember Me Gone. And by that time, I had really honed my craft. I'd spent a lot of time figuring out how do you plot a book? How do you build characters? I joined a critique group, which I think was one of the most critical things that I did, which I'm still in that critique group to this day. We've been together, I think, almost 9 years now. Wow. It was really fun when we all got together. Nobody was agented or published. Now of the six original members, four of us are agented and published now and keep on working.
Oh, cool.
That was really helpful to have a group of trusted writing friends who could give you honest feedback, help me like kind of hone my words and my craft. And ultimately, they were really invaluable in helping me get Remember Me Gone to a really strong place. And I queried that, got my wonderful agent, Joanna McKenzie. We went out on submission with that and 2 weeks later had an offer, which when you hear it like that, it makes it sound like it was really quick. But this was, you know, a decade of work learning.
Yeah.
Really hone and craft my skills.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome to know. Like, that seems like really good advice too for any young authors who are getting into this for the first time. It's just finding that support group and other authors who like are wanting to learn together. It sounds like there's a really good support system out there. So that's awesome.
Something really positive we've heard from some other authors that we've talked to is that that's kind of, you know, the foundation that you need is the people who are going to, you know, tell it to you straight, give you the feedback that you need. Because you're always your hardest critic, but sometimes you do need those people to look at it from a different perspective for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just nice to have friends who are in the trenches with you. Anybody who has ever pursued a creative career path, one of the hardest things you learn is there's a lot of no's. And I think that doesn't matter if it's writing or painting or whatever creative thing you're pursuing, you're going to get a lot of no's. And it helps to have people you can talk to who are going through it, who've gotten those no's, who've taken those lumps, who can bear with you when you're on your low days and also celebrate with you on your high days because they realized how hard it is to get a yes. So it's not just even the writing craft itself, although that is highly, highly valuable. It's just about having that support network and people who get why you want this so badly and why it's so hard and can empathize with you along the way.
Absolutely.
That's so awesome.
So with the main character in The Darkness Rises, she is a dancer. She's grown up dancing. And I know that you yourself grew up dancing. So tell us how dancing, you know, how that played a role in your life and translated into your writing.
Yeah. When I was younger, all the way through high school, I was a competitive dancer. In Texas and parts of the South, a lot of high schools have what's called the drill team, which is actually a dance team. They do the halftime shows. And then when football season's out, they do competitive competition dance all throughout the state and sometimes out of the state. So I did that all through high school. And I had always, that was such a big part of my life growing up, being a part of that team and just all the amount of time I spent training and loving and learning dance. And I always wanted to write a book that had that core to it. So I can't explain how I just knew it was going to be this book, but I knew that Whitney was going to reflect some of that experience that I had from my time on the drill team, which I changed it instead of drill team in this book. It's called dance team just because I realized that's more universally known. I know a lot of states, they call it, the drill team is more of, say, like a flag squad or something like that. I just wanted it to be clear that it was really focused on competitive dance. But yeah, that just became a central part of the story that really pulled from my own experiences as a competitive dancer in high school. And that nostalgia that I have, that I wish I could still do that. I have a daughter now, and she's only 2.5, but I'm really, really hoping that she will decide that dance is her chosen activity, so I can be that dance mom that's waiting to explode out of me.
I
That's
hope that she
awesome.
loves it just as much as you did.
I'm gonna try.
It was such a beautiful thing in the book too, just to read it and see like how that did inspire Whitney and how she continued to use that even when she maybe, wasn't dancing at the time. So I thought that was
Yeah.
super cool.
It, like, kept her grounded and kind of served as like a little bit of a coping mechanism for her.
Yeah, definitely. I found I don't know, I found it was such an important thing. Like, now as an adult, it's, unless you go on to pursue dance, professional dance, it's not necessarily something that carries with you, but at the same time it does, because I found being a part of a team at such a young age, having something that was so core and central and important to me from a something to strive for, I think it really sets you up for success as an adult, to have goals that you set out to achieve, to know how to work with a team and build that camaraderie. So a lot of this was sort of my love letter to what dance, I think, did to set me up for success in life. Life and just help me become a well-rounded person in the role that it played for me.
Definitely. So in this book, obviously you are touching on some tougher topics, some darker topics that teens may go through. So what really motivated you to like have this conversation throughout the book, especially touching on, school shooting, stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I realize once I'm done with a book that I have accidentally used a book to help me process something that I didn't really know that I needed to process. And I actually have a letter at the end of the book, kind of explaining what was happening in my life at the time with school shootings, which I was writing this book, and I had this idea about a girl who sees dark clouds hovering over strangers' heads when they're in danger, and she has the choice to save them or not. That was the initial core. And I knew that somebody wanted revenge because she'd saved the wrong person. That was the initial concept. And it took me a little while to flesh out what is that story going to look like? And at the same time, in the news, there had been another horrific school shooting. And I found myself literally flipping past the news articles, like as if it was just this thing, right? Like, oh, another one of those, which there was just a moment where I'm like, what a horrible, horrible reaction to have to something horrific happening in the world that keeps happening, to just want to breeze past it as if it's, yeah, as if you're numb to it. And I found it, even though I was trying to shut that out, I found it finding its way into this narrative. And once I had finished a draft that actually dealt with the school shooting, I realized that I was actually processing kind of my own feelings, that I was trying to deny what was happening in the world around gun violence and the potential realities that that would have on my family, on my future, on my daughter
Sure.
as she grows up. I didn't want to process it, and so I ended up processing it in the book. So what you have on the pages, it's a thriller that is also the author really trying to come to terms with this epidemic in the country. And so those emotions that Whitney feels, they're pretty honest to the emotions and the grief that I was feeling as I was learning how to process the world that my daughter's going to have to grow up in, and the realities that are around us, and the fact that this is a massive problem that we have to fix, right? We can't close our eyes to. I can't close my eyes to it. So it was a little bit of me shaking myself awake too.
Definitely. Well, and I think it's something that multiple generations can kind of relate to too, because you have, the people who were at an age where like the Columbine shootings really played a role in that. And then you had like the Sandy Hook shootings, and then obviously we have so many that we can't even count that are happening, today. And so it's definitely something that could hit home for a lot of people.
Yeah. And it's scary to think that anybody could go to school and be affected by that. It's easy to say that won't happen to me. It's not me. It's impact my community, and that it impacts a community, and it shakes them to the core. That was kind of my thing of, I'm going to have to put my daughter in a school. She will be going to a school at some point, and this is what I have to face as a mother. This is the reality that she's going to have to face, and it's a pretty scary thing.
It is,
Absolutely.
yeah.
So you had some characters in this book that definitely were used as, some of that comedic relief and to lighten the mood. So did you have were there any challenging moments when you were trying to balance, the comedy with some of those ultimately darker topics?
I think it's important when you're writing a thriller or when you're writing something heavy to have a little bit of relief. I like to think, especially with thrillers and suspense book, it's a little bit like you're filling the air in a tire, right? If you're doing it well, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's about to pop. And it actually helps if you release that tension a little bit, if you release some of that air out of it. It helps the reader breathe. It helps you as an author breathe. It helps the character breathe. And it also helps, I think, that give another layer to the story. So instead of it being one note, like you're climbing up a mountain, it's a little more like you're riding a roller coaster, right? Because breathing moments in between. So I think anytime I'm writing something tension filled, I try to infuse those comedic moments just to create some more emotional levels. I also think it just makes the characters more grounded and the reader a little more grounded too, because we all need a little bit of a break in between it. So it's kind of those moments of, hey, heart racing, pulse going, let's take a breather. Something big and intense happened, let's take a breather.
I think it also just reminded, the readers, like, hey, these are high school kids. Like, you'd be like, holy cow, like this is crazy, and all these things happening. And then you'd have, Isaac crack a joke, or his grandpa crack a joke, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, okay.
That's life, right? Horrible things happen, but at the same time, your day-to-day life happens at the same time. Those things run in parallel. It's not just like one note existence that we all live. So there's a little bit of that too, right? This wild thing is happening to Whitney, but at the same time, her best friend is going through some stuff. She met a boy that she likes. Like that's real life, that all of those things kind of combine together.
It definitely made it a very well-rounded story.
Thank you. Glad to hear that.
So I am curious, is there anything specifically that made you decide to write for young adult readers as opposed to, an older audience?
Yeah, it's a good question, and one I don't 100% know the answer to, because it's sort of a voice that I've always written in. But I think it is because when I always read, as I mentioned earlier, I came from a big family of readers. So my mom was always reading to me when I was little. She always had a book in her hand. So I just grew up in a reading household, which I think is really part of why I love stories. But where I really found my own, I think, independence in reading was when I was a young adult and I discovered the young adult section in my bookstore. And it was finally me picking out the stories instead of my mom giving me the stories or reading the stories to me. And there's just something about that moment of, in my adolescence, trying to figure out who I was and having these stories to escape to like pull on my imagination and just open my eyes to experiences that I hadn't had, to characters that I had never encountered before. So I think that voice has just always stuck with me because that was such an important time for me when it came to my own reading and my own, I guess, personal development. And at the same time, that's really when I really started to try writing. I mean, I didn't, it was many years later until I tried writing a full manuscript, as I shared earlier, but I was writing a lot of short stories around that time, and the voice was always very anchored in those young adult stories that I was picking up at the bookstore.
Yeah, I know Tabby and I definitely can relate to, like, we are also lifelong readers as well. So I do remember also that feeling as, a young adult picking out your books at the bookstore. Like it did kind of add this new excitement to reading. So
Yeah,
I totally get
independence to
that.
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I loved anything that had like a little bit of magic, something a little scary, which I think also is probably why I gravitate towards speculative fiction. Like I really have always enjoyed reading books that are grounded in this world, but there's something weird or off, whether it's a speculative element or a supernatural element, and that's definitely influenced my writing as well.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. We tend to gravitate towards like a little more like fantastical stories as well. So it's right up our alley.
I love it.
Do you think you'll ever kind of branch out from that genre at all, or do you feel this is where you're most at home and this is probably where you'll stay?
I think it's where I'm most at home, but I have always wanted to write a truly scary book for kids. So I am current, though my current work in progress is a middle grade horror book.
Awesome.
Speaking of in things that influenced us, I remember reading Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, checking that out from my school library and just staying up way past my bedtime time and just being like terrified. And I've kind of always wanted to see if I could do that. So I am trying my hand. We'll see how it goes. But it's very early in the stages of that process. But it is kind of fun to attempt a younger voice. So YA, definitely my sweet spot. We'll see how it goes with middle grade. Beyond that, I don't know. I think it'll depend on what stories kind of spark to me and what voice comes out of it. But so far, they've all been younger voices.
Well, I think that's cool. Really awesome that you do focus, more on the young adult, like you said, the middle grade. I feel like a lot of literature right now is kind of trending more towards like the new adult, the that type of genre. And so there haven't been, I think, as many young adult authors coming out with content like this. And so it is, like I said, very refreshing to see.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
So kind of moving towards, some book specific questions here, without giving anything away, how would you best describe your book?
Yeah. So I would say it's a story about Whitney, who has seen dark clouds hovering over people's heads that warn when they're in danger since she was 7. And she has always tried to the best that she can to save people, because the dark cloud tells her if somebody is in imminent peril, and whether that's literally saving them or finding an excuse to delay them, she's never once questioned whether or not she should stop them. But the year before the book takes place, she saves a boy from her school and he goes on to do something terrible. And now she's back at school. She feels incredible guilt for the role that she played by saving this boy. And she desperately wants to keep that a secret, that she knew what was going to happen and that she was a part of the tragedy. Then a note shows up in her locker, a picture of the boy with the dark cloud hovering over his head. And she knows that somebody knows her secret, and chaos ensues after that. And basically she has to figure out who her stalker is before they release her secret, or before anybody else gets hurt.
What ultimately do you hope that readers take away from this book?
Yeah. I mean, I do hope it has both a heavy topic, and because it does involve a school shooting, but at the same time, it is also a suspenseful thriller. So I hope readers enjoy reading it, that it is one of those fast paced books that keep you guessing in terms of who is out to get Whitney and what's going to happen next. So that's kind of at its core of, I want you to enjoy the book. But in terms of big takeaways, Whitney has a lot of guilt that she's carrying with her, and she doesn't realize that she is actually herself suffering through trauma, that she's recovering from the everything that happened the year prior. She sort of takes all the blame and doesn't realize that she is also grieving, that she is also going through this, and that she's pretty brave for everything that she has gone through and everything that she is trying to get herself through. And she forces herself to do that alone. She thinks she has to do this in isolation. And as the book progresses, she comes to realize she didn't have to be all by herself. She didn't have to isolate herself. And in fact, you shouldn't in those situations. It's important to talk to other people. It's important to lean on your network, to lean on your friends, and to not hold these things inside. And so my hope is, readers who maybe experience traumas big or small realize, similar to Whitney, that you don't have to go through this alone, that it's better to talk to somebody, that it's better to talk to your friends, let them know what's going on, so that you can lean on your community.
Absolutely. And I feel like that message is really important too for this audience, specifically for those, younger people who maybe haven't experienced this themselves yet. And so just kind of having that spelled out for them, that you should rely on your friends and your family for support when you need it. I think it's definitely important for them to hear.
Yeah, really fostering like those healthy communication skills, and something that's going to translate into them as they do continue to get older.
That's right. Yeah. And it took Whitney a little too long. I think if she would have realized that much earlier on, maybe things wouldn't have been so dramatic. Although
yeah.
we wouldn't have a book to read then.
Exactly. Exactly. What are you most excited for with the release of your book?
It's such a long process from idea to writing the book to getting the book published. So I'm just excited for it to be in readers' hands and to finally be out in the world. I started writing this book, I think from the time that I had the idea, it was probably like 9-ish years ago. And I took a lot of breaks from writing it. So it's just been such a long process that I'm just excited to see it on a bookshelf, to see it in readers' hands, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Awesome. Well, on the flip side there, what have you been most nervous about?
Well, for everybody to read
Sure,
it.
obviously.
Right, that's the double-edged sword of writing. You both want everybody to read your words, and then at the same time, you don't want anybody to read your words because what if they hate it? It's a reality of, hopefully somebody loves it, but you also know that there's going to be people out there who aren't going to love it. If no story is for everybody, so
Sure.
that part's always a little nerve-wracking. Of for every good review, there's usually at least. Every two good reviews, you usually get a not so good review. So learning to close your ears to the negative reviews and focus on the positive is part of the key. I certainly learned that with the release of my first book, and all authors talk about that and go through it, that experience of the world is full of critics.
For sure.
Definitely. And yeah, especially with, like I said, the development of, TikTok and different social media platforms, I feel like there are some people who can be a little hateful when it comes to reviews, but then you always have those people who are like your biggest fans, and so you got to take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Yes.
The favorite moments are when you get a letter from somebody who read something that you wrote that meant, that touched them, that meant something to them, that they enjoyed. So I'm looking forward to hopefully many of those moments.
Absolutely. And even if it's just one person who feels that way, it's worth it, right?
100%, 100%. So for all of you listening, if you ever love an author's book and you think the author doesn't want to hear from you, I promise you they do. Nothing makes a writer's day more than knowing that somebody read their story and enjoyed it. So write those nice notes, write those positive reviews. I promise they do mean more than you probably realize.
That's awesome that it's touching for authors to hear. One of the last things I want to ask you is you did kind of touch on this a little bit because you mentioned you are kind of dabbling in writing a horror story for that middle-aged reader group. Are there any other projects that you're currently working on right now?
I always have a bunch of things that are in the back burner. So I have a list, but I am one of those people, I need to focus on one story. Otherwise, I'll get really distracted. In fact, I think there was a little bit between Remember Me Gone and The Darkness Rises where I went back and forth between the two of them. And it probably took me, the resulting fact was that it probably took me longer because I was going back and forth. So I'm trying very much to focus on this one story and this one voice. But I do have a number of speculative YA ideas that are in the hopper. I'd say my sweet spot is usually girl with a power grounded in this world and somebody's out to get her. So that's kind of the underlying theme of many of my stories. But it is nice to have a break and write a story about spooky stuff for kids. So I'm having
Yeah.
fun with that.
How cool.
Well, we again really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. But before we let you go, where can readers find you online or on social media?
Yeah, you can find me at stacystokes.com, or I'm on Instagram and artist formerly known as Twitter, at CA Stokes.
Awesome.
Okay.
So we can send you all the nice fan mail and all the good positive comments.
Love it.
Definitely.
And thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast and appreciate you reading and all of your kind words, and hope you have a wonderful day.
Absolutely. You too, Stacey. Thank you so much for
Thank
taking
you
the
so
time to chat
much.
with us.
Thank you so much.
Stacey's new book is available now as of April 9th of 2024.
Join us next week. We are going to be discussing a novella, a quick little mini-sode called Thin Ice by Cassie Mint.
And then the week after that, we will be discussing Throne of the Fallen by Carrie Maniscalco, which is a continuation from the, oh my God, what's it called?
Kingdom of the Wicked.
Thank you. The Kingdom of the Wicked series.
All right, so get started on those books if you haven't already. We'll talk to you next time, and as always,
Let's get lit.